I'm going to talk to you this morning about defeating the dark, because if we just think about it for a minute, the world outside these days is just a dark place. It's like no matter where you go, there's just stuff. And it's like I hate even looking at social media or turning on the news, because you rarely ever hear anything good. I remember as a kid, there was this guy, I can't remember what news station he was on. I think his name was John Pertzborn, and he did this segment called Pertzborn's People. And every night he would come across, and they would end the news segment with good news. He would find somebody that was doing good in the community, that was doing something to help people out, and he would concentrate on them. And it wasn't like people that would normally be pointed out in normal society, but it was people who were just going about their business, trying to do good. And we need more of that. We need some positive. We need some good, because it seems like darkness and bad news is all that we hear. And the scripture I want to read with you this morning is John chapter 9, starting at verse 1. John 9, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing." There's a whole lot going on right there, and we're going to break it down just a little bit. In verse 2, this is a big part of where I want to start. "And his disciples ask him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned that this guy was born blind?'" In today's day and age, it seems like anytime anything bad happens, one of the first things anybody says, "Whose fault is it? Who did this? Why has it happened? Who's responsible?" They wanted to know, why is this going on? Who was it that messed up? You know, we get so trapped in you know, it's funny but yet not funny at the same time. You know, kind of the running joke, everybody blames their parents for everything. And if you're a parent, you're like, yeah, they seem to always do that. But everybody blames their parents for everything. It's like sometimes we need to realize sometimes in life it's nobody's fault. Sometimes it is our fault. Sometimes it's not somebody else's fault. Anybody else ever make a dumb decision? I mean, I could raise both hands, both feet. I've made a lot of dumb decisions. I've done a lot of dumb things that I probably shouldn't have done. You know, sometimes we have to realize it's not somebody else's fault. There's not some thing. There's not people out to get you. There's not not a conspiracy of just trying to make your life horrible. You know, God's not doing that. Sometimes bad things just happen. You know, sometimes we make excuses like, why am I the way I am? I'm the way I am because of my parents. I'm the way I am because I was poor. I'm the way I am because I'm old or because I'm young. I'm the way I am because this is the way I was raised. I'm the way I am because I ate paint chips as a child. I don't know. We have all these excuses of why all this stuff happens. But sometimes we just need to realize stuff just happens. It's not necessarily because we did something. It's not necessarily because somebody else did something. You know, it's amazing when we stop and think about, you know, and people, I was speaking with someone not so long ago, and they're like, "Well, why can't God just fix this? It's like, I know God is powerful. He's the God of the universe. Why don't he just fix this?" And I had to remind them, we gave up. God gave the earth to us. And when Adam and Eve sinned, we gave up that authority. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've gained that back, but we have to learn. We have to relearn how to use that authority that's been given us. God gave the earth to us. It's ours. It was ours to mess up, and we did a pretty good job of it. I mean, look at it. But we have to realize sometimes it's just nobody's fault. Sometimes bad things just happen, and we can't figure it out. Yes, there are things all over the place that happen. You might say, but Lou, why does this happen? In verse 3, I love this. In verse 3, Jesus just breaks it down. He's like, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. It's amazing sometimes the things that we go through and I've even done it in my life, said, God, why? You know, I don't understand. Help me to understand why I'm going through these things, because it doesn't make sense to me. You know, just like they were saying, you know, we think, you know, what Miss Christie was saying, you know, I'm good, I'm doing good, I've been reading my Bible, and all of a sudden I didn't get what I thought I was going to get. What I thought was going to happen didn't happen. And we're like, God, what's going on? Why are things going this way? Why is this happening? And sometimes God just says, hang on. Because what we realize is sometimes God puts these strength on the inside of us to get through the challenges and the things that we have to get through, because there's going to be other people that we're going to encounter in our life that don't have that strength. They're going to need somebody else that's going to come along and say, you know what, you can get through this. I've been where you are. You know, I had a rough life. Me and my mom, I am so thankful that my mom is feeling better and with us this morning. We went through a lot of stuff growing up, and there was lots of times we asked, why? God, why are we dealing with this? What's going on? And somehow or another, through the end, it always ends up better. And you might say, well, maybe it didn't end up better. Maybe the situation turned bad. You know, if someone passes away of cancer, you can't say it ended up better. Well, actually, it did. They're in heaven now. They won. There's no better answer than that. Once you win, you win. So even in Satan's worst thing, when he tries to put the worst thing on you, no matter what he can do to you, even if he takes your life, if you have a relationship with Christ, you still win. You know, I've been called crazy. I've been called dumb. I've been called a lot of things I can't repeat, because in dealing with situations in life, I realized as a teenager, there's nothing that I can't deal with where Satan ends up winning. There's nothing he can take from me. There's nothing he can throw on me. Nothing he can do to me where I don't still win. I mean, when you think about Job for just a second, all the things, if you read Job, I mean, it's amazing. All these things happen in such a short time. And he had if anybody ever had a reason to try to blame God or question what's going on, he had a reason. He lost everything. He lost his family, his house. He lost his health. He lost everything. And what does he say? Though he slay me, yet I will trust him, because he knew who God was. And the thing is, regardless of what Satan tries to do to us, when we're a believer, when we've asked God to come in our heart, when we've allowed the Jesus' blood to cover our sins, and we've started that relationship with him, we realize there is nothing that he can do to us where we don't win. We get so trapped and caught up in the things of this life and trying to make things seem, you know, we get caught up with stuff. Sometimes we just get caught up with stuff, and we get caught up in just living life and doing the things that we have to do. Sometimes we forget that we're taking nothing with us, that when we die, there is nothing that's going with us. That's, I mean, it's us, our spirit, our soul. We're going to go meet Jesus, and that's it. The one thing you can do is, as you deal with this stuff in life, as we deal with the storms, as we deal with the dark times in our life and these things that happen, when we do just what they were talking about, when we say, okay, regardless of what's going on, I'm still going to spend some time in worship. I'm still going to praise God, because God doesn't change. The Bible tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So even though we're going through a dark time, it doesn't mean that he's changed at all. He is still there with his arms outstretched to give us guidance and to give us help through it. There's that old song, sometimes he calms the storm, but sometimes he calms the child. Sometimes he doesn't make your situation all better, but sometimes, you know, when we rely on him, that's when we can have that inner peace. The Bible says it's a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the junk and the struggles that are going on. That's why we can have peace, because we know that it's in him. In the midst of the storm, the disciples were going across the sea. I mean, these were experienced sailors, and it got to the point to where they thought they were going to die in this boat. It had gotten that bad. These weren't just a bunch of experienced guys jumped in a John boat, thought they were going to go across the lake. I mean, these guys are going across the sea, and it's storming. And they go and wake Jesus up. It's like, don't you care that we're going to die? What does he say? Three words. Peace, be still. Three words. And the storms just stopped. Sometimes he calms the storms. Sometimes it's praying. You know, we have to realize that when we're going through storms, instead of just stewing, instead of just having all this inner turmoil, sometimes we need to talk to God. He wants to hear what's going on. He wants to hear how we feel. He wants to have that relationship with us that we can just talk with him. When we have a bad day at school, when we're arguing with our best friend, when we're trying to figure out things in life and our parents aren't making sense, when our boss isn't making sense and we just got to deal with all this stuff and we're confused and all those other jackets that she's wearing, we're complaining and we're frustrated and we're dealing with all this stuff, God wants us to talk to him. He wants to have that dialogue with us that when we tell him all this, and then it's amazing when you talk to him and when you spend some quiet time with God, there's that peace. When we focus on the word. And the thing is, how do you defeat the darkness? You introduce light. That's it. That's it. Defeating the darkness is just introducing light. And when we go through those dark times and when we see no way out, sometimes we just have to introduce some light. We have to introduce something good in the situation. Sometimes we say, you know what, God, I am not strong enough to deal with it. I mean, anybody ever deal with a situation, you don't have to raise your hand, that it's just like, God, I don't know if I can get through this. I've been there to the point to where in battling in my mind with things, it's like, God, I need help because I really don't know if I can deal with this in my head any longer. And I'm reminded of the movie Unbreakable. If anybody has seen that movie, awesome movie. This guy, he's a Christian and he's a prisoner in a war camp, and it's to the point to where they go, the general from the war camp makes him pick up this log and tells him to hold it over his head. And this guy hasn't had hardly any food. He's weak. He's been beat. He's been working in coal mines. I mean, he's been going through all this stuff. And he tells him to raise this log over his head. And I mean, he's just a little guy. So he does everything he can to raise it up over his head. And then he tells the guard, if he drops the log, shoot him. And he's like, I mean, in that situation, I mean, it's just, okay, drop the log. But no, he stood there and he's like, you know what? I can do this. I know who my guy. So, almost in a defiant order, he just picks the log up even higher. Sometimes we got to realize that when the world is battling against us, we have to realize who our God is. And it's not just a matter of being able to get through it. Our God is able to get us through those storms, through those dark times, better on the other side than when we started in the beginning. That's when we learn to count it all joy. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible that they read. Count it all joy. And that's when the world thinks you're really crazy. When they know that you're going through stuff. When they know that you're struggling and you still have a smile on your face. Like, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It's like, no. I know who my God is, and that's why I can have joy in the midst of this situation. That's why I can still smile and I can still continue to go on every day. Does it mean that I know my world is perfect? No, not by any means. I know I'm still dealing with the stuff. Just because I put a smile on my face doesn't make my car get repaired, my washing machine get better, you know, doesn't bring in more money. You know, none of those things change by me being joyful. But what it changes is my attitude towards those things and what I'm letting control me. The one thing you have control of is you. Too many times we think, and I've heard it before, we try to say, oh, this is how they, ever heard someone say, well, this is how they feel. I hate it when people do that. And I will just say, you can't tell someone else how they feel. You can guess. You might be right. You might not. You are not them. You can't tell someone else what they're feeling. So when you see someone going through something, you know, and if they're struggling, and sometimes we, you know, God puts us in other people's lives for a reason. Sometimes we need to be that encouragement for them. But when you're trying to encourage someone, don't ever say, I know exactly what you're going through. No, you don't. You're not them. You are not them. You haven't had the culmination of all the experiences in life and dealing with all the stuff that they've had to deal with to get to that point. You don't know what's going through their head and the battles that they face. You know, they may seem like they have everything great on the outside, but you don't know the battles of unworthiness that they deal with in their mind. You don't know the struggles that they deal with of family members that they're trying to care for. You don't know the struggles that they deal with of their marriage or of what they're dealing with their best friend. You don't know all the stuff on the inside, but what you can do is you can give them the good news. You can tell them, you know what? I don't know what you're going through. I've gone through similar situations, and you tell them how God has gotten you through it. That's what he's called us to do. That's how we defeat the dark, when we get to the point to where we can share with other people and give them parts of our testimony and the things that we've gone through. Does it mean it's great that we went through these things? No. We're not stupid. I mean, yay, I'm struggling. No, that's not what it's about. I mean, really would be a little, you know, off my rocker then. But we have to realize that, yes, we get through situations in life. We get through these struggles. And it's by getting through those struggles that we're allowed to help other people. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. We did a Bible study several years ago. Not really a Bible study. It was more of a book study on the book called The Purpose-Driven Life. First sentence in the book, I've never forgotten it. One of the best sentences I've ever read in a book. The very first sentence is, it's not about you. I'm like, wow. Because in this world, in this day and age, everything is about us. And making it our way, even at Burger King, it's your way. It's all about making it all about us and what makes us feel good and what makes us happy and what makes our life easier. You know, I love the not so subtle hint of the movie WALL-E. For those of you who remember that old movie, awesome movie about the little robot. Well, because the Earth had become so polluted, they all went on this forever cruise up in space. Well, and because the technology had advanced so much, everybody was just on these little hovercrafts that roamed around, and nobody had to walk anywhere, and nobody had to do anything. And to play golf, you just had to hit a little button, or swing a little remote like a Wii controller. Or life had just gotten so easy that they just didn't have to do anything anymore. That's not what God wants for us. Because at that point, they quit living. As the movie goes on, just trying to get two people to interact outside of just this controlled environment was unheard of. And that's what happens, is the devil tries to get us so trapped up in the current environment that we have, in the storms that we're dealing with, in the struggles that we're dealing with, so trapped that we can't see outside. We can't see hope. We can't see a future. We can't see a way out. But when someone comes into your life and says, you know what, things can be better. Let me help you. Let me hold you. Take my hand. Let's walk through this together. And maybe God's calling you to be that for someone else. We have to get through those. It says in Psalms chapter 23. This is from Psalms 23 from the New King James Version. It says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In the midst of the storms and the struggles of this life, we don't have to fear. It doesn't mean that everything's okay. It doesn't mean that we're still not dealing with the situations that are happening. But it means I know in my heart that it's going to be okay, that he's got me. It says, for you are with me. He is with us. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's got a plan for us. He doesn't just lead us to the storm and drop us off and say, good luck. No, he's got a plan to get us through those things. He's got a plan to help us walk through. So when we're dealing with the struggles of life, when we're dealing with the things in school, when we're dealing with things and rules that seem unfair, God's like, you know what? We got this. Yes, it might not seem unfair. Yes, you might have to endure it for a little bit, but We're going to get through it. It's just a temporary thing. But patience is so hard. When I was younger, I really had a lot of patience for pretty much anything. If I had to wait for something, okay, I had to wait for something. The weird part is, as I got older and as I continued to get older, I realized my patience isn't exactly what it used to be. Maybe that come from years of highway driving. That's my one area. I still don't handle traffic well. I'm getting better. He's helping me. I'm getting better most days. But sometimes we have to realize that we're not getting stuff because we deserve it. And I've dealt with people that say, you know, they're just getting what they deserve. It's not always quite like that. You know, there's this really cool thing called mercy and grace, that even though we deserve a whole lot of stuff, we don't have to have the punishment for those things. For all the bad decisions that we make, when we turn them over to God and say, you know what, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Help me to walk through this. Forgive me for making those stupid decisions. Help me to be better. Help me to get through this. The cool part is he does. Sometimes we don't even realize it when it's happening, but he does. We find ourselves saying, wow, did I deserve this? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but there's something bigger that's taking place. Sometimes we feel as if Satan himself has put a bullseye on our back, and he's just trying to set us up for all these failures. But at the same time, when we truly let God take care of stuff, and everything just falls into place, and next thing you know, we're looking back, and we're like, huh, I made it through that. All of a sudden, maybe the weight's a little bit lighter, and you're like, wow, I'm still here. It doesn't mean all the problems went away. It doesn't mean that everything just disappeared, but we get to the other side, and it's like, huh, it's not quite that bad. For those of you who are hunting, they're hunters, there's a really cool thing that you experience. Cool. Right before the sun comes up in the morning, for those deer hunters who head out at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning to get set up in the woods, there's this thing that happens right as the sun starts to come up. And that's, it almost feels like the temperature drops like 10 degrees. It's always coldest right before the sun rises. There is some science behind that, and I'm not going to get into all that. But it's always coldest right before the sun rises. So when we're going through storms, when we're dealing with stuff in life, and we realize, and sometimes we think, you know, the devil's just constantly trying to tell us that we're not going to get through it, that it's just going to get worse, and that there is no escape. Well, sometimes when we allow that joy to say, you know what, I can't see beyond what's in front of me, but I'm going to take the next step. And then I'm going to take the next step. It's like, I can't see how God's going to get me through this, but I can see the ground in front of me, and I can take a step. And then, I made that step, and I'm still here. So we can take another step. Say, I made another step. I can keep going. And sometimes we just take it step by step until we get to that point to where we can turn around and see that the storm is behind us. When it comes to just things of this world, the world isn't good about making us feel good about ourselves. I mean, in social media, I mean, all the magazines and all the things, and I hate it. It's like they almost make people, it's like their goal is to make people feel worthless about themselves so they can sell products to try to make you better because who you are is not good enough. And I hate the way that marketing schemes do that. And they've gotten pretty good at it about making people feel not good about themselves. I mean, just look at all the products that are out there. But when we realize that God made me me, and I'm valuable. You think, well, what determines the value of a person? What, you know, okay, so you're valuable, Lou. What makes you so valuable? A person is as valuable, anything, no matter what you think, no matter what you have. If I had this rare antique thing, and I took it to the store, and you know, the old antique roadshow, for those of us who remember those things. I have this clock I found in my grandma's attic, and it hasn't worked in 20 years, but I think it was given to her by her great-great-grandpa, and it's like, what's it worth? Well, it's worth what somebody will pay for it. If I had something that was so old and nobody's going to give me anything for it, it's worth nothing. It's worth what someone will pay for it. It's worth how rare it is. The more rare something is, the more it's worth. You try to find like an old 1960s vintage Corvette that still has all the original OEM parts on it, you're going to pay a lot of money for something like that. Why? Because they're rare. You can't find one that's still got all the old original parts on it, and it's going to be very expensive because it's rare. Every single one of you, whether you're 6 months old or 100 years old, you are still the only one of you that exists. You are rare. You are very rare. You are the culmination not just of you and what you've gone through. You're the culmination of generations that have happened before you. And all throughout history of your parents, your grandparents, your lineage have all come to who you are. And you are rare. And you are valuable. Jesus paid a price. You were so valuable to God that he sent his son to die. Jesus freely gave up heaven, came to earth, and died for us because he valued us that much. He valued us that much. We are worth something. I was doing a project back when I worked at MoDOT. We were working on this bridge project, and it was a dry creek. There was no water in the creek. When it flooded, sometimes there was a little bit of water that ran in the creek, but there usually wasn't. And we were replacing a bridge, and so we'd started digging out the footings of the bridge, and I mean we'd went through probably about 5 or 6 feet of solid rock. So I mean this was solid, and when we finally broke through, and we weren't expecting a pocket underneath the rock, but we found a pocket, which we ended up had to do a bunch of redesign. But we found this pocket of water about 5 feet through the rock. And it was a pocket of water that was flowing underneath the ground. And it was only about 18, 24 inches deep, but it was about 15 feet wide, and it was running down the riverbed. Well, we hiked up the riverbed, and what we found was there was a stream, and the stream was flowing, and then the stream just disappeared. And what happened was it went underground, and it was flowing underground. One of the neatest and strangest things I'd ever seen was once when we started excavating out this hole to try to figure out what we were going to do with the new footings for the bridge, is we found fish in the water. One of the fish we found was this little catfish, and it was completely white. It had no color. Its eyes were kind of glassed over because it had spent its life living in the dark. And because it spent its life living in the dark, it had adapted to what it had to do in the dark. So its skin didn't have the pigment because it didn't need it. It probably went more on scent than it did eyesight of anything because it was just trapped in this dark environment. And there are people that we encounter in life who have dwelt themselves in darkness for so long that they've allowed themselves, not even allowed themselves, but they've been deceived by Satan so much that they've been trapped in this dark place for so long that it's actually started to change who they are. You know, we've all probably met people that we knew when we were younger, and then we got older, we meet them again, and it's like, that's not the same person I remember. Maybe it's because they've dealt with a lot of darkness. Maybe they've dealt with a lot of stuff in their life. But it doesn't mean they're any less valuable. It doesn't mean there's anything different about them. If anything else, it makes them, in my opinion, more rare. It's somebody that's worth something else. And it's worth investing into. It's worth putting some time into. When I found that fish, it made me want to study. It made me want to see, okay, what else is down there? This is really cool. And when we find people and when we come across people in our lives that when you see them, that they've allowed themselves or they've gotten themselves trapped in this darkness, God puts you in their path for a reason. You can be the light. You can be the escape. You can be the one area that allows them to get out of that. That catfish, no telling how old it was still tiny because it wasn't getting the nutrients it needed. But after we opened up we ended up getting a flood at that not too long after that, and ended up washing a bunch of stuff down. And I can't help but think that after that catfish got out into more of a natural environment, it was able to grow. You know, I even had a fish one time in an aquarium. I had a little 10-gallon aquarium, and I had these couple of fish in there, and they only grew to about 4 or 5 inches long. And I thought, they were pretty big fish, so I thought, well, that was cool. And then my wife got me a 20-gallon aquarium for my birthday, so I put these fish in this big aquarium, and instantly they started to grow again. When they got into the right environment that they needed, they started to grow again. And it got to the point, I called the pet shop, and I'm like, okay, I have these fish, they're this old, how big are these things going to get? And he told me, he's like, well, they're bigger than they normally get, so whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Okay. And it was a little jack. When I bought it, it was, you know, probably 2 inches long. It was a little Jack Dempsey cichlid. And when the fish finally died of old age, it was almost 10 and a half inches long. I mean, it looked like a small bass. It was huge. You know, those are kind you can't give a burial by sea. But what happened was when it got out of its environment that it was stuck in and was given a bigger and better environment, it was able to flourish. It was able to grow. It was able to become more and get better. And that's what happens when we deal with people in our lives, when we're around people who've been trapped in this darkness for so long and they can't feel the way out. They can't see beyond what's in front of them. Sometimes you just need to hold their hand and help them take that next step. Because it's amazing when you start giving them a little bit of light, when you start showing them what they're capable of, when you help them to understand that it's not just who they are, but it's the God that lives on the inside of them and that he truly cares about them and loves them and wants to help them. And when they start realizing that for themselves, then they start growing. And it's amazing when they start growing and then they get to the point to where they know other people and then they can help someone. There's an old thing that I fell for once, and then I did the math and didn't fall for it again. It's like, you ask someone, would you rather me give you $1 million one time, $1 million, or I'll give you a penny today, 2 pennies tomorrow, and I'll double it every day for 30 days? Which would you rather have? Most people are going to say, give me $1 million. I want the money now. But if you don't, if you wait, you end up with way more than $1 million. But you got to wait. You got to be patient. You got to let it have its perfect work, like it says in James. Because at the end of a week, you only have like $1.43. At the end of 10 days, you're still like not even $100. And you're like, we're almost halfway there and this is it. But then there's that law of compounding interest. And as you just continue to double it every day, it ends up with well over $1 million. Sometimes we just have to take day by day. Maybe we're not getting the blessings that we want. Maybe we're trapped in this darkness and Satan has so many things pulled up around us to try to block the light from coming in. But I'm telling you, what you need to defeat the darkness is you just need to introduce some light. And if there's people in your world, if there's people that you come in contact with who are trapped in that darkness, you need to be the light for them. You need to give them hope. You need to give them a peace. You need to let them know that they're not alone. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, says, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Despite the trials, despite the struggles, despite all of that stuff that's going on, if we just keep pushing forward, we pull that dory. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What will you do? You swim. I'm not supposed to sing. uh, Oh, Job dealt with so much. But what happened in the end to Job? What happened because he endured, because he had that patience? He was blessed. He was given so much more than he had at the end of the trial. Sometimes we're dealing with trials and we can't figure out why we're going through them. Sometimes God's setting you up for a blessing. Not always, but sometimes he's setting you up for something better. We have to get to the point where it's, we get beyond pride, we get beyond dignity. You know, I can't imagine what this guy's thinking. The guy's blind, so he can't see. And Jesus is like, you know, he's talking to these other people, and then he hears Jesus spit on the ground. He's like, hold on a minute here. What's going on here? Sometimes we don't recognize how our answer is coming. And sometimes when people try to help, they have the best intentions, but maybe aren't going about it the right way. And sometimes it gets us even more frustrated and us more confused because they're trying to help. They have the best intentions, but they're not really helping. But you have to realize that they are helping, that you, what you get out of that is knowing that you are not alone, that there are people, even though they may be misguided, maybe what they're doing is not helping, but they're there. They're there. You're not going through it alone. You know, maybe they don't know the answer either, but they're going to help you find it. And that's what we do, is we just keep going forward. We keep moving forward to what we're supposed to do. We don't know why we've ended up, where we end up. But what we do realize is, yes, we are all different. We've all come from different backgrounds. But, you know, we're all heading to the same place. We all have one goal in mind, and that's to go forward towards the prize of Jesus Christ and what he's done in us. And when we keep that goal ahead of us, when we realize that maybe someone just needs to hear a scripture, maybe someone just needs a hug, maybe they just need someone to stand beside them. Everybody's created different. You know, me and my best friend growing up, I can't think of any real deep conversations we maybe ever had, but maybe one or two. He was my roommate. We worked together. We did everything together, and we didn't have deep conversations. But there were different times that that we were struggling with different things in our lives, and we knew the other person was right there. Sometimes someone doesn't need to hear a word. They don't need to hear a lecture like Job's friends constantly telling them, well, this is why you're dealing with this, because you messed up and God's punishing you for that. Come on, let's get real here. Sometimes when someone's going through something, they don't need someone else to remind them why everything's wrong. Sometimes they need positive. They need to know why they need to keep moving forward. They need to know that God cares. They need to know that someone cares. And that's what God's called us to be. He's called us to be that light set upon a hill, that lighthouse that lets people know when they're going through the storms, there's a point of safety. And they know what's going on. And that's what God wants for us, to be that light for others. We defeat the dark by introducing light. And that's what we do.